and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baby, it is Fridays with Fugelsang. What? Why not feel good? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, joins us all 3 hours here at the...
It's Fugelsang.
Oh, yeah. It's Fridays with Miller.
With John Fugelsang.
Let me just tell you, a lot of people live for Friday, Chris. I live not only for Fridays with Fugelsang, but my sole social life consists of dates with John Fugelsang and his wife.
Did you go out on another date?
Pretty hot.
Couple of weeks ago, tickle party like nobody's business.
1 week ago, actually.
Snorkeling, everything.
Oh, it was like the Navy all over again.
Oh.
Except it reminds me of my Navy days, as Joe Sestak says. Every time I come on, he mistakes me for Randy Rhodes, and he thanks me for my service. And I just say, you're welcome.
It's beautiful.
All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Another big, big show. We have Representative Ron Kind from Wisconsin coming up, and economist Christian Weller. But first, you know how sometimes you start a show with a song? But I prefer to start with a prayer, with an invocation of some sort. Who better to do it than the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, Reverend Jim Wallace. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
It is at the top of your resume that you're the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a great honor. It's a great honor. It's sort of my own chaplaincy.
However, this is you're here on a good day because John Fugelsang is with me. Both of his parents were former clergy. And,
oh, you're right.
And he talks.
Yes, I've actually interviewed the Reverend on your show before when I've guest hosted for you, Steph.
That's right.
We go way
right.
back.
And may I just say, he speaks the same language you do, a language Glenn Beck is not familiar with, apparently, things that Jesus actually talked about.
Brother Beck.
Tell
Brother
us
Beck
what you're
is
up
confused.
To.
Well, Glenn Beck said that that social justice is really a code word for communism or fascism, and that Christians who go to churches where the word social justice comes up should quickly leave their churches and turn the priests and pastors into church authorities. The problem is the church authorities are for social justice too. So Pope Benedict and the National Association of Evangelicals would have to turn themselves into themselves, which really wouldn't work. So actually, social justice is at the heart of the gospel. And yesterday, Glenn Beck attacked me and said, social justice is a perversion of the gospel. So I just said, well, Glenn Beck, since you're calling on Christians to leave all of our churches, and you're saying it's a perversion of the gospel, this thing that Jesus talked about all the time, you're asking us to leave our churches. I'm asking Christians to leave you, Glenn, to leave your show and not watch anymore.
Yep.
And, in fact, for Christians, we can't turn ourselves into the church authorities. So I think we should turn ourselves into Glenn Beck. And I'd like to see all of our names on his chalkboard, you know?
Yes.
It could be kind of a hall of fame, you know?
Yes.
So since my mission statement says we're committed to the biblical call to social justice, I was the first one to turn myself into Glenn Beck. And so far, about 10,000 others have now done that.
I love you. I think it was the blog you wrote this morning that you say, I don't know if Beck is just strange, which I can confirm, yes, trying to be controversial or trying to make money. I think it's all three. As you point out, I mean, what is he even talking about? I mean, I'm not a Bible expert, but you are. And it's,
well,
as you say, that's at the heart of Christianity.
So there are 2,000 verses in the Bible, Stephanie, you and I have talked about this before, about the poor, about social justice, 2,000 verses. I think maybe about homosexuality, there might be like 9. I have a Bible, actually, where we cut out of the Bible every single reference to the poor. I did this in seminary, and we actually have that old Bible. So it's a Bible that's in shreds, full of holes, falling apart. And I have invited Glenn to a conversation about whether social justice is a perversion of the gospel or at the heart of it. And if he has me on his show, I'm going to bring him that Bible. And I'm going to say, this is the Glenn Beck Bible. Because all that stuff just got cut out somehow.
Yeah. I guess I'm trying to...
verses.
I hate to say it like this. It's not very Christian of me, but it's trying to understand a madman, in my opinion. I don't... what is he even basing that on, that it's the basis for Nazism or communism?
Well, I'm not sure. The New York Times had a story this morning about all this, and they quoted even Mormon theologians, which is Glenn Beck's religion, as saying that even in Mormon teaching, social justice is pretty key. So... he seems not even to understand his own Mormon
religion. Well, as you point out, Reverend, you know, the Catholic Church, the Black churches, the mainline Protestant churches, more and more evangelical and Pentecostal churches, including Hispanic and Asian American congregations, of all consider social justice central to biblical faith. He's essentially telling all those Christians to leave their churches, right?
He's telling us exactly. I'm not sure who's left. We all leave
the Church of What's Happening Now, I think.
We all leave all of our churches and join the Glenn Beck Church, I suppose. But I don't think it's going to happen. Instead, we're all turning ourselves into Glenn Beck because the church authorities have to turn themselves in, too. And I said, Glenn, we either have a conversation, since you've raised this, we either have a conversation about this, or we'll keep turning ourselves in to you until you either have a conversation or apologize. I mean,
right.
He really has offended Christians. It's not really, I mean, it's sort of loopy and funny in a way, but he's really offended Christians by saying something at the core of our faith is something we should leave, and we can't and won't do that.
Well,
and so he's really walked off the edge of the world here.
Yeah, I mean, as you write, the Bible is clear, from the Mosaic Law of Jubilee to the Hebrew prophets to Jesus Christ, social justice, an integral part of God's plan for humanity. That's the thing, is I'm guessing that he's not going to be man enough to debate you, don't you think?
Well, I told him in my letter to him this morning, I know you're used to just monologues on your show, but I'm suggesting a dialogue. And you can't say things like this that are so offensive to the core of someone's faith and just kind of get away with saying it because you got your own TV show.
Mm-hmm. He may have finally jumped the shark.
Yeah, you're going to have now a public conversation about this. You're going to have to apologize, one or the other.
It reminded me, Reverend, I don't know if you saw this, his interview with Eric Massa, but to me, it's just, there's a mean-spiritedness to which, you know, the right jumped on this to try to use it politically against Democrats. And this is clearly a man that is, you know, troubled, that is in some sort of meltdown. And I think, you know, that was a perfect example, wasn't it, of how, you know, he will do anything for ratings, and it just was sad.
Well, I don't know the man. I don't know his psyche. I don't know his spirit or his soul, so I can't judge that. But I will tell him that it sounds like he's using his politics to really dismiss something that is religious and spiritual. He may have the kind of politics. A reporter asked me yesterday, why is Glenn Beck against social justice? I said, well, probably he's afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably afraid of social and economic justice because that's a challenge to his politics. Well, it may be. I would suggest social and economic justice is supposed to be a challenge to the politics on all sides. I'm not happy with either side in their practice of social and economic justice. It's supposed to be a challenge, and Glenn Beck apparently is very challenged by this. So I think we ought to have a dialogue. Whether he's man enough is, I don't know, but I've issued the challenge, and I deliberately said dialogue, a conversation, and not just debate, because I want to have a conversation. What are his concerns? Social justice is not communist and fascist. Well, I'm not sure what you do with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., for example, or Mother Teresa, or Desmond Tutu. none of them, as far as I know, were communists or fascists.
Right. Yeah.
So, but they were people of faith who committed their lives and gave their lives for social justice. So we're talking about here. Some of us have have, you know, tried to live our lives this way and gone to jail more times than we can count for right. these things. And he can't just say it's a perversion of the gospel. That to say social justice is a perversion of the gospel is itself perverse.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Reverend, what do you want us to... What would you like our listeners to do? You invite us to join your turn ourselves into Glenn Beck as a Christian who believes in social justice. How do we do that?
Well, it's all up on our website, sojo.net. You can see the exchange. You can see what I've said to him. What he's, of course, he began to slander me. Who is Jim Wallace? Well, somebody said, well, he's a communist. He's a foe of capitalism. He supported mass murder in Cambodia and Vietnam. It went on and on and on. So,
wow.
And I'm sure that'll get worse because that's what he does to people. So I said, Glenn,
well, Jesus was big on name calling, as we all know.
I said, Glenn, could we dispense with the personal attacks and get with the substance of what you said? It's either true or not true, and let's talk about the substance. So I would say go to our website, and if you'd like to sign up to turn yourself in to Glenn Beck, if you're a priest or a pastor or a member of a church or just know of a pastor who preaches social justice that you want to out, you might want to out them to Glenn Beck, because I think it would keep him, you know, we got 10,000 people so far, and that's going to take a lot of time on the blackboard, you know.
Yeah, we have to report Matthew 25 to Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Reverend,
well, I spoke to a conservative evangelical college in Ohio. Yes, I just got back this morning, just in time for your call. And these are very conservative evangelical kids. The whole focus was on poverty and social justice. It was about Matthew 25, where Jesus says, as you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was a stranger, I was sick, and I was in prison, and you didn't come to me, you didn't show up. When do we see you, Lord, hungry and thirsty and naked, stranger, sick and in prison? As you've done, he says, to the least of these, you've done to me. So this is about what it means to follow Jesus here.
Yep, absolutely. Reverend, we always appreciate your time, and you're just always right on the money. Reverend Jim Wallace, go to, what is the website again?
Sojo.net.
Sojo.net.
And subscribe.
It's all there. You can read about the growing Glenn Beck, Jim Wallace conversation.
Conversation. That's a very nice way of putting it.
you're welcome to sign up and
right.
say what you think to Glenn Beck.
I read every day, Rev. I read you every day.
Reverend Jim Wallace, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you so much, Rev.
Well, God bless you and the show.
Thank you, sir. See you next time.
Except for me
all
and
right.
Chris. Yeah. Well, it reminds me of Dom
Hill. I would go to his website so you don't have to call Glenn Beck because you don't want to be on Glenn Beck's phone.
No,
you know
don't.
What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna need to get off his phone. So go to the safety of sojo.com.
Yes, turn you into Glenn Beck is kind of a scary sentence. I'd rather be turned into a giant cockroach when I wake up in the morning. But it reminds me of what Dom Helder Carrera said. When I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist.
Yep. I love how polite he is, don't you, Chris? I want to see what Glenn's concerns are. Well, his concerns are maybe he got his Thorazine composition wrong this morning because he's crazy.
Well, Glenn Beck says you should leave any church that preaches social justice. I say Glenn Beck should leave any church before he bursts into flames.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour. There was something that John Fugelsang wanted to say, but not while Reverend Wallace was on the phone.
Jim Wallace, very good guy, beautiful man, and I recommend his site highly to atheists and faithful alike. But I just... You know, I have this theory that the Glenn Beck show is Satan's favorite thing to masturbate to. And that every night Satan gets out his bottle of lotion and sits in his favorite chair.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Puts Glenn Beck on and just...
Oh, yeah. Everything's going exactly the way I
want. Blame Acorn Glenn. Yes, yes. Tell them why torture's good for them, Glenn. Yes. Tell them how Bush kept them safe for 8 years and leave out 9/11. Yes. Oh, Glenn, do as I bid thee. Blame the poor.
Glenn, yes.
Yes.
So, that's my theory.
It's just a theory.
I'm glad you waited till now.
Yeah, felt wrong to bring it up at the Reverend.
I think Reverend Wallace, if he's still listening, is chuckling. Mm. Okay, Chris in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, it's the official Aren't You Sorry You Turned Me Down in High School of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chris, doesn't ring a bell. Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
I had this jotted down to talk to tell to John this week, and it just seems appropriate now.
Yes.
The strangest thing a conservative Christian ever said to me is that we're not allowed to give to the poor, or rather, we shouldn't give to the poor, because Jesus said, "The poor you shall always have with you."
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a popular one of the popular lies, especially with this prosperity gospel you're going to be hearing more about. You have a lot of these evangelicals saying that if you're a good Christian, Jesus wants you to be rich. It's impossible to be those two things at once, folks. It's actually impossible technically to be a capitalist and a Christian at the same time, and the path we walk is to try to be decent mensches while still making a buck. But you can't do it, and I thank you for the call. And he only called because he turned me down in high school.
I'm furiously searching for a last name, but I couldn't think of one.
It's true. Every time you try and act like a Jesus, some Christian calls you a commie.
Representative Ron Kind of the great state of Wisconsin. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
No problem.
Oh, are we? I mean, we've been the kids in the back seat now for a year, but are we there yet on health care? Are we there yet?
We are making progress. We're moving the ball forward, which is what we need to do right now. Listen, the American people have been so focused on the process of legislating, and right now we're getting down to the final policy details, and it's time for a vote. I mean, the president's calling for it. There's growing energy in both the House and the Senate. We have to begin this great experiment in changing the way health care is delivered and how we pay for it, and changing the insurance rules so that people aren't denied based on pre-existing conditions or drop when they do get sick or injured. Mm-hmm. These are common sense proposals that should have been done a long time ago, but we've got to begin that process. Otherwise, the status quo is going to consume all of us.
Well, and the big breaking news yesterday, of course, is that, you know, Harry Reid has finally gone on record saying, yes, we're using reconciliation. So most of us were like, oh, okay, we've been saying this for a year, but okay. I think the president, you know, gave in a lot of people's opinion, more than enough time for Republicans to try to come to the table. Representative, can you hang on? Because we're about to hit a hard break.
Sure.
Do you have to go?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we can sit
okay.
Back.
Representative Ron Kind from the great state of Wisconsin hitting a hard break. We'll be right back with him on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Like in high school. Only the most amazing breakdancer ever.
Boy, Holly, I was just spinning on my back right during the break now.
Huh.
We almost got health care done. I'm doing that spinny thing. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Ron Kind of the great state of Wisconsin rejoins us. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
You too. Well, I know that we're very close to the end here on health care. One would hope. I know the president said yesterday that this is when folks get the most nervous, when we're almost to the finish line. But what is the finish line? Because I know that Speaker Pelosi has been kind of vocal about saying, look, stop giving us deadlines. We don't know. I mean,
Stephanie, this is a point of clarification because there's a little bit of confusion back home, and there should be because we're talking too much about process and not about what the bill is going to mean to real Americans and the impact it's going to have in their lives. But all we're talking about doing in reconciliation is making some important fixes and changes to what the Senate passed, you know, the Cornhusker kickback that no one likes. Even Senator Nelson doesn't want to see it in there anymore. Those are things that need to be fixed in order for the president to sign, you know, health care reform. So that's all we're talking about doing, because comprehensive reform has already passed both the House and the Senate. The Senate was 60 votes, mind you, not under reconciliation. So we're trying to fix it, make it a better product, and in that limited version, use reconciliation to do it, which is, again, majority vote in the
right.
House and the Senate.
And they keep trying to, you know, the Republicans have tried to spin this six ways to Sunday. This is, the point is, this is exactly what reconciliation was meant for. This is, you know, you already, the Senate bill already passed the Senate. These are just fixes, right? These are things that have to do with the budget.
Yeah, they're being disingenuous. You know, over the last 15 years or so, reconciliation has been used 22 times, 20 of which Republicans were in the majority. And typically when they use reconciliation, they use it to explode the budget deficit, when reconciliation was always meant to find cost savings in order to reduce the deficit. That's exactly what we're doing with this measure, finding some more cost savings to bring the deficit under control. This will save over $100 billion over the first 10 years that we use for deficit reduction, close to $1 trillion in saving over 20 years that goes to deficit reduction. So that's exactly how reconciliation was meant to be used.
Right. Well, let me ask you something tricky that just occurred to me last night when I was reading the story about reconciliation. So, you know, it is obviously the Byrd rule is what it has to be tied to the budget process.
Right.
So
right.
Obviously Democrats are saying, you know, they're just making changes that are making the bill fit the overall budget. You know, what would make it fit better would be the public option, wouldn't it?
Well, so, it would, but there again, you've got the Senate, and they've got to find 51 votes somewhere, and they're pulling up short even on that. So I think, you know, the president's been clear, and the leadership's been clear that unless you can show where the votes are in the Senate, it's going to be difficult to get that across the finish line at the same time. But, you know, the whole idea of allowing the American people to have the same choices that federal employees have with their health care plan is what we're trying to accomplish, establishing this exchange, a menu of health plan options for them to choose from, introducing more competition in the health insurance market where very little exists today, coupling it with tax credits to make it more affordable for small businesses and farmers and individuals. This is exactly modeled after the federal employee health plan, and it's a way that we're able to extend coverage to 30 million Americans who don't have it today. And mm-hmm. that would be a tremendous accomplishment of being able to make sure they have affordable quality health care so they don't have to live in fear of getting sick or injured.
Congressman Kine, let me ask you about, I mean, there's obviously a lot of things that have come up in the last couple of days. One is Congressman Grayson's, it's a letter about expanding Medicare, correct? I mean,
yes.
Does that have a chance of passing? I get a little confused with what might or might not happen in the
end. Well, the irony, Stephanie, as you probably know, is Senator Lieberman, of all people, was proposing this Medicare buy-in from 55 to 65. You know, that's an age group that is falling through the cracks more and more. Mm-hmm. And what Lieberman had proposed, along with others, was allowing people to buy in. So it's deficit neutral. You know, the premiums would pay for the health care coverage.
Right.
And then he backed off from it. And for some inexplicable reason, and we were trying to get that into the health care reform bill too, and Joe
may
still
I,
hasn't given
I,
a good reason why.
May I venture that it may have been the timing of the arrival of the check from Aetna in his office, but kid. Now, it sounds like, you know, at least one problem we're working through, and that is it looks like, you know, you guys are going ahead without, you know, Bart Stupak or whoever, his gang of however many there are. I don't know whether it's three or whatever.
Yep.
Is that so?
Well, it is, and here it is. You know, what we're basically doing is codifying existing law. And existing law says that no federal funds can be used for any abortion services. That's been the law of the land for many, many years. That's what's contained in the Senate bill right now. What Bart is asking is for a whole new redefinition of it. And the problem that Bart has is that, again, it has to have some type of budgetary impact. What he's proposing doesn't. It's a policy impact. So you
right.
can't get that into reconciliation, even if you wanted to do it, because it doesn't comply with the rules.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But isn't that just red meat for his base? I mean, is he really trying to rewrite the abortion laws when the Hyde Amendment's already on the books, or is this just to satisfy some of his core fans back home?
Well, you know, I don't question Bart's motives. I think he is very committed to this, believes very strongly in it. Who I do question are some of the outside groups that are trying to use Bart as a screen in order to halt health care reform because they don't want anything to pass. And so this is the lightning rod that they've seized on. They're trying to scare people, get them all riled up. They're the ones that are trying to sabotage health care reform. And Bart's been consistent. He'd love to be able to support some reform measure, but this has been an issue that he's talked about for quite some time. But the other thing to remember about what Bart is proposing, if he gets what he wants, then every person that gets their health care coverage through an employer-sponsored plan, along with the tax exclusion that comes with it, would now be subject to the Bart-Stupak rule. And that means you know, the reproductive health care choices that women now enjoy in their employer-sponsored health plan would all be in jeopardy of being taken away based on whether Bart wants to move the lever here. And I don't think, you know, most Americans, or certainly not most American women, are going to want that taken away from them as a choice of theirs.
Yeah. No,
except in the RNC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was in the RNC healthcare plan, too, and until they realized it. Something that was in place for 20 years that the RNC was offering, and then they go, oops, I didn't know they didn't know they were doing that.
So I think they're
being a bit hypocritical about this whole issue.
What? That's so rare on their side. Congressman, I'm still reading stories, though, that, oh, they're still looking for the votes, or I mean, where exactly are we with this? I mean, how close do you think we are?
Well, we're getting the CBO score back, and obviously
when is that going to be?
That means the Congressional Budget Office is scoring the cost of this bill, which is important because
when's the time frame when we get the CBO report?
Well, it's hopefully today.
We're
planning on getting the Congressional Budget Office score back today. And with
okay,
that,
well, can
helpful.
You have this health care bill done and on my desk by the end of close of business?
Is that... Stop it, Stephanie.
Listen, I wish this was done last November. You know, I think most people do, too. But also the language is going to start be available so that members can finally get a chance to read what's going to be in reconciliation, understand the impact it has, do the analysis, and that's when you can really do the vote counting to see if the votes are there.
Right, absolutely. All right. Well, Representative, we always appreciate your time and updating us on what's going on in Washington. Thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure. Anytime.
All right. There he goes, Representative Ron Kind of the great state of Wisconsin. We check back in now with Satan's masturbation chamber to see how he's enjoying the Glenn Beck Show.
I enjoyed that O'Reilly promo. Come on, Glenn. Tell me more how the poor are to blame and the uninsured want to be that way.
I hate
it. Oh, I'm out of tissues. Where are my tissues? Nixon, get in here.
I hate it.
I was saving a special place for you, Glenn.
I'm sorry, John, was the implication there that Richard Nixon brings Satan his masturbation tissues?
Well,
he was
a Quaker, so according to Glenn Beck, he's down there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Nixon sets out the tarps.
My best Glenn
I love it. We're just like sort of hopscotching between reverends and congressmen when we get back to the dirty stuff.
I know. The Congress is gone. Let's talk about Satan masturbating to Glenn Beck again. The worst part of my week was seeing when Massa was on Glenn Beck, and he goes, I just can't stand the corruption, so I'm leaving. And Glenn Beck goes, well, then, sir, why don't you stay there, sir, and try to fight the corruption yourself? And I thought, I'm agreeing with Glenn Beck! And my head explodes, and I'm still scraping the brains off my TV screen.
Wow. How's about that Eric Massa story, John?
I actually, Chris Matthews will be here in the third hour weighing in on that.
Good.
It's a pretty sad story. I'm actually almost loath to joke about it because the man is so clearly not well. I just hope that he goes away and gets the care that he needs.
I don't know, did you happen to see Bill Maher on Countdown?
I did.
This week? I have to say, because I love Bill Maher normally, did the same thing disturb you that disturbed me? Bill was very funny and talking about it as usual, but I know he was sort of joking, but at the end of his thing he said, why don't you just go ahead and kill yourself?
Yeah,
and that really bothered me.
It bothered me too. I mean, no one wants to see a troubled soul hanging from the rafters, and the guy clearly is troubled. I mean, you don't bring your Navy gay porn yearbook on the Glenn Beck Show. You know, unless you're a few camels short of a flock, as Bin Laden's dad would say. It's hilarious.
It was like the old Anna Nicole Smith show used to. It was kind of like funny at first, and then you're like, oh, someone put the camera down and help.
Yeah, that was a bit different because that went on for years and years and years. This is a relatively sudden thing, and again, he's from the great state of New York. So, I mean, our Democrats have dropped the ball so many times they can just go play for the Nets. I do want to remind people there are very good, sane, effective, non-corrupt elected Democrats in New York. We have Meeks and the Wiener, you know? We still have some good people.
Current evidence to the contrary. You actually were saying something interesting during the break that you did a show with Corey Haim. When was it? A couple of years ago?
Yeah, he came on a talk show I hosted in L.A., and it's pretty sad. I've spent my time around addicts, and the only people I hate more than anti-drug Republicans are the junkies. Corey came on. I'm not saying he was that, but he was clearly not well. And I talked to my producers about it at the time. And, you know when someone's in torment over that whole situation. And this is when he was doing the two Coreys on A&E, when they were cashing in on it. And what's really sad to me is that we as a culture, the only thing we seem to love more than celebrities is watching celebrities screw up.
Yep.
You know, we love watching them just blow it on TV. And there are so many rehab shows now, and I'm convinced half the people who go on to rehab shows are doing it for the spending cash to buy more junk when they get out. Sex rehab was all junkies just looking to get a paycheck.
Yeah. So Jim Ward always says that's a good place to find nymphomaniacs.
And also, Corey Haim, I guess, just last week turned down celebrity rehab.
Well, good for
him. Anyway, we were just saying it was kind of that same feeling you had watching the Glenn Beck, you know, kind of trying to capitalize on Eric Massa and use it as a political thing against Democrats. You're like, that's
exactly.
Really kind of
it was
this
pretty
guy
sleazy.
Is really troubled, clearly.
In fairness, Democrats would do the same thing right back to him. And if Foley had gone on Rachel Maddow right away, I mean, they certainly would have exploited all they could. But, yeah, in the case of Corey, you know, he was doing this reality show where he was being exploited by everyone for profit. And it's a real scary, mean thing we're going to. And reality TV, the real dark side is, it's become a freak show for profit. And now A&E stands for Addicts and Enablers.
Yep. Wow, we just stumbled into a kind of a deep and meaningful conversation there. I apologize. That will not happen again.
Not again.
I don't know.
Go back to Satan masturbating.
Yeah, we will go back to Satan masturbating to Glenn Beck next. And also, can we do Chris Matthews on Eric Massa next? Do we have to wait till hour three? All right. 47 minutes
it's
after the
It's called a
hour.
Tease, Stephanie.
47 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, let me rock it. Stephanie Miller. Let me rock it, that's all I want to do. Let me
rock it, rock it. Just cannot hear it enough. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Bugle Sang continues 51 minutes after the hour.
Wasn't it great hearing this at the GOP convention in 04 when Chaka Khan played for the Republicans? Beautiful.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Shirley in Phoenix on Glenn Beck. Hello, Shirley.
Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning.
I want to talk about Reverend Wallace. What a wonderful idea. But I think we should go around Glenn Beck first before we go ahead and head on with Glenn Beck. I think we should find out if he's a practicing Mormon, where he's getting his teachings. If his religion is teaching him.
He is a convert to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, so we need to find out his minister. I think Reverend Wallace should have a one-on-one with his minister to talk about social justice, to find out if Glenn Beck is, they're in agreement with him.
Someone needs to bring a chalkboard and re-explain a few
Basically,
things to him about the Bible.
I think religious leaders should talk with one another to find out where he's getting these ideas. I think he is Glenn Beck is doing what his corporate masters are telling him. But I think if you come full prepared to take on Glenn Beck, you should have a name, his minister's name, what they're teaching in his church, have all of that. And then go forward. That way, Glenn Beck is going to have to answer to Reverend Wallace.
There you go. All right, Shirley. I don't know who Glenn Beck's preacher is, but I'm guessing he's embarrassed.
I'd rather just give Glenn Beck a short quiz on things Jesus actually said, to be honest with you.
a little pop quiz.
A little pop quiz on what Jesus stood for. Death penalty? Sorry, Glenn.
No, wrong. Carolyn, New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Or like you like to call it, Calcutta.
But, or as we, I call it, Calcutta, since my dogs catch a new disease every week.
I'm like John, except I've been having many explosions in my head for the past year. A couple of quick things. First of all, I had to wake up to see Laura Ingraham on ABC this morning. This is a woman who had breast cancer, if I'm not mistaken. How in the world, unless she's the daughter of Satan, could she possibly have gone through all of that and not had any change in her soul or her heart? That's number
one. Because she won't get paid for that, Sugar. She's not going to get paid for caring about other people. She's going to get paid by her masters for telling middle-class and working-class conservative folks who to blame.
It's really very sick. But number two, you know,
by the way, that's how you know Ann Coulter is a Christian, because she wears that big cross right under her, you know, Adam's apple.
Yeah. You know Ann Coulter's Christian because she wants to kill people and then convert the survivors to Christianity.
That's right.
And also, we loved Bill Clinton from Whitewater to Monica Lewinsky, and he never got health care this far. I just am so tired of the hand-wringing on our side of the aisle. This man has gotten this bill.
Me too.
So far. I cannot believe that we can't hold on for like a few more minutes.
Carol, I'm with you, sister. I went ape dump on a bunch of liberals the other night that were bitching about Obama. I'm like, shut up! What's the matter with you people?
I'm with you too, but I hate the bill and I'm still with you.
Okay, yeah. I don't love the bill, but you know what? I think that the president is a very smart man. You go to the party with the people that got you there, and he knows who he has in the Congress. He knows their loyalties are divided. You have to go with what you have right now and then work on it. And you know,
you know, Carol, one of those, you know, the endless emails from my right-wing brother the other day about, you know, something, some sort of, this used to be an Obama supporter, and now, you know, and it was just mean. It was just like, when Obama's daughters look in his eyes, that all they'll see is a failure. He's the wrong man at the wrong time. And
right.
It's just
unlike the proud Bush twins.
You know what we could do as progressives? What we could do is we could get more progressives in office, and then he'd have something to work with who could push him towards the direction we want to go. Thank you,
Carol. We have to go out for drinks here in Calcutta.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Bye, Carol.
We need a liberal party. The Democrats and Republicans are two heads of the same serpent. I mean, it's really true. Not to go all Nader on you, but we need an organized liberal. Where's the liberal Tea Party? The Greens? We got to have someone there to keep the pressure on.
You know, we need less Eric Masses and a little more.
More,
you know,
Kucinich with better hair.
Exactly.
Like yeah.
Exactly. Oh. Now. Now, Eric Massa, Chris Matthews had some thoughts on it.
Did you guys see Matthews and his panel on Massa the other night? It was amazing. I mean, Matthews is the one guy to really get to the core of what the issue is, and he does it in the most professional way. Because I was watching the show the other night, and he goes, let's play hardball. Okay, talking about Eric Massa tonight. I want to remind all of you, it is Massa, not Massa. A lot of guys in the media calling him Massa. It's not Massa, it's Massa. It's how it's spelled. It's like his name's not Cheney, it's Cheney. Let's all say it together. Cheney, Cheney, Cheney. It's a sad, sad story about Massa. Oh. Let's go over to David Schuster. David, it's a sad story, this meltdown, the poor guy. David, why can't the media leave this guy alone? Stop bringing up all the things he did, like groping the staff member, attacking Rahm Emanuel, changing the reason he's leaving three times. David, why bring that stuff up in the media? The GOP is exploiting this poor guy. Glenn Beck's doing it for ratings. Disgusting. Huh? Let's run that footage again of Glenn Beck exploiting this poor guy for ratings. Can we show that footage again of him being exploited for ratings, please? David, hold that thought. Let's go to Babe Buchanan. Babe, what's the real story here? It's kind of like a movie. A congressman has a breakdown, goes on TV decrying corruption. It's like Bullworth 2. At least he doesn't rap. Huh? I mean, is it like Bullworth 2, Babe? Could Halle Berry ever go with a guy like this? Maybe he'd prefer Harry Berry, if you know what I'm saying. Huh? But it's a tragedy. But Babe, while you're thinking about that, Andrea Mitchell, Massa said Rahm was a son of this devil's spawn. Doesn't that make him Satan's grandkid if you're the son of the spawn? It's not a really well-thought-out put-down, is it? While you're pondering that, the guy says he's too familiar with his staff, Andrea. A lot of Catholic boys have that same problem. Ha! Huh? Let me bring a Clarence Page. Clarence, come join the dialogue with us. Clarence, what do you call this now, a closeted bi thing? Is it on Craigslist, I guess you call it a straight bros, looking for straight bros? In the black community, it's called a down low. Whoa, 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 whoa. The Army calls it being in the Navy, huh? Before you were reply, Clarence. Let me ask you the real question. They say massive growth to subordinate in the Navy. I'm thinking, in fairness, where else are you going to get to grope an actual subordinate but the Navy? They're all subordinates to you. How do we know the subordinate wasn't asking for it? He was dressed as a sailor. Am I right? Am I right? Isn't it possible Massa was being taught from the bottom? Clarence, we're out of time. Don't forget, panel, it's pronounced Cheney. This is Chris Matthews, and we're talking about erratic behavior.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Timetable on health care. Democrats said key vote for Monday.
That's not the final vote. Not the final vote.
I don't care.
It is not the end, nor is it the beginning of the end. It is perhaps the end of the beginning.
Jim Moore's here, everybody.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Winston Churchill just dropped in for a second.
And Gil Brenner.
Thank you. And we'll check back in Satan's masturbation room again soon to see how he's enjoying the Glenn Beck Show with his daughter, Laura Ingraham. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with John Fugelsang is in the hizzy here in New York.
So they're
Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward in the hizzy in Los Angeles. Yes, John.
Fox wants to cancel 24, and now Jack Bauer has only 24 hours to torture Rupert Murdoch and stop the plot.
Tick-tock.
Crikey.
StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it out. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere. Pardon me, Jim.
Nothing.
Okay. We have, once again, some good news for America, bad news for Republicans on the economy. And Christian Weller, fancy economist guy from the Center for American Progress, joins us. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being had. Now, I was reading a headline yesterday that basically said people are slowly regaining their wealth. That has not trickled down to me yet, but what's that all about?
Well, we have 16% more millionaires in 2009 than we had in 2008. This is actually happening in every major crisis, that there are a few people who are lucky who have access to cash in a crisis and can take advantage of the opportunities. They can step in early in 2009 and buy up stocks and then gain very handsomely with that. Mm-hmm. That's not the majority. That is clearly not the 15 million people who are unemployed and still waiting for a job. But there are some lucky few and people and families, and as I said, like we create the number of millionaires in 2009 was 16% higher than it was in 2008. I'm not saying we should necessarily go forward with class warfare, but I think what a lot of conservative commentators would like to say is like, well, look, we created 16% more billionaires. Everything is done. Let's go home. And I think the important piece is that the economy at this point is not yet working for families, for America's middle class, and that we really need to create an economy that works not just in the short run, but in the long run for families so that they have good jobs, that pay the bills, that don't force them deeper into debt, that allow them to stay in their homes, and we're far away from that.
John Fugelsang was saying that retail sales were better than expected.
And it's only class warfare if you try to help the bottom 95% of the population. The top 5% of the population, you're a good capitalist. But, yeah, we just found out today, Christian, that excluding autos, sales rose 0.8%, which was a lot better than the 0.1% that economists had predicted for the last month.
Yeah, retail sales, a number of things are going in the right direction. It's fairly tentative, certainly the retail sales numbers are encouraging. That means like people are spending more money, which goes a little bit along the lines of, I think we talked about this last week when you saw the unemployment numbers. Unemployment is stable. Long-term unemployment is going down. The share of the population that has a job is going up. So things are going up slowly in the right direction, which they have been going slowly in the right direction for some time. And the important piece here is that it's the right direction, but the other part is it's going slowly in the right direction. And given that there are so many people who are looking for a job, so many people looking to lose their homes, or stay in their homes and not lose their homes, I think the pace of this improvement has to accelerate substantially to really help families. And that's why these jobs bills that are making their way through Congress, both on the Senate side and the House side, are so critical at this point in the economy. Mm-hmm.
Now, what you mentioned housing. You know, what is going on with that? Because, you know, I was talking to actually my realtor yesterday in L.A. because, you know, a lot of us are going through this, oh, this is a bad time to sell. And then Jim and I were talking yesterday about if you had to buy again, it's a bad time to get money, right? I mean, they're not people, the banks aren't lending yet, are they?
Well, the housing market is very difficult to read. I think generally it's fair to say that we've reached pretty much the bottom, at least in terms of sales. Eventually, if we go any further on new home sales, we're essentially at zero. We're not selling anything. So there is some sales activity at very low levels. Prices seem to be beginning to stabilize, but we're far away from a normal housing market. So there are problems for owners, for people who want to buy to get credit. But the other part is also some sellers are still unrealistic in their expectations and stuff like that, and that has to do with the foreclosure wave. Banks are owed a lot of money, and they often a lot of foreclosed properties when they come back on the market are offered at fairly high prices because the banks want to see how much they can recover of the money that's owed to them from the boom years.
So, and that's going to further hurt people that are looking to sell now if there's more foreclosures flooding the market,
that's
right?
Correct. But it also sends the wrong signal. It says, like, well, look, my neighbor's trying to sell my neighbor's house, which is owned by the local bank, is or by some mammoth bank in New York, is on the market for 20% more than I thought I could get for my own house.
Well,
so I'll put mine on the market also for 20%, and then these houses linger, and you don't get the normal adjustments in the labor in the housing market overhang. But
Let me throw out a crazy hypothetical to you. Say you're, an idiot radio host that moved to New York on a whim. Would you sell your house in L.A. at this point or to continue to try to rent it?
Sell. I'm not going to give any, like, real estate advice.
Take the deal.
It's a very, very messy world out there. But I think, all joking aside, I think the housing market does bear some close watching because the flip side for this is that there is incredible pain among families. You got to remember, and when you look at these foreclosure numbers, and we can talk about this, but generally you're looking at 5 million, 4 or 5 million people, families who've lost their homes in each year in the last 2 years. So you're looking at about 10 million people we've kicked to the curb, literally, in each year in the last 2 years, and these people have gone somewhere. We've seen the number of homeless going up. We've seen people moving in with each other, with like doubling up in family homes, and that creates a lot of stress and anxiety among families and is straining family budgets. So there's a lot of hardship out there that does require a sensible response so that people, A, can stay in their homes, but also that they can find good rental options, which is often hard after you've been foreclosed on.
Yep, absolutely. That's why I'm moving in with John Fugelsang and his wife any day now.
Yeah, because you just said no deal.
you're all channeling Howie Mandel. Christian, this has been going on since the beginning of time, but what effect will health care have? I mean, it looks like it's going to pass, and hopefully shortly. What effect is that going to have immediately, do you think?
I think the immediate thing is that I think a lot of business owners will actually, regardless of what they say in the lobbying, will actually breathe a lot easier because in the next few years, healthcare premium increases will become a lot more predictable, a lot more manageable, and that will be a lot easier for smaller businesses. So I would expect within a year or two, you're going to see small businesses actually picking up pace in their investments very quickly because of that.
Socialism sounds good then.
Yeah. Well, it's just simple. It's simple. I mean, what we teach our students in economics classes is businesses don't want to invest in an uncertain world, and the biggest chunks of uncertainty in this world come from unpredictable healthcare premiums and unexpected energy prices. So you actually, I mean, President Obama tried to make the completely correct point early on in healthcare discussion that healthcare reform is good for long-run growth, as is energy reform. We kind of got sidetracked in all this politics, but essentially that's the right argument. If healthcare premiums become a lot more predictable, the premium increases are going to be smaller than they otherwise would have been. We're going to see more hiring and more investment and ultimately more innovation in the economy. I think this is a bill that will pay strong dividends very quickly.
Yep, absolutely. Christian Weller, we always appreciate your time and your take on all things economics. See you next week.
Yes, anytime.
All right. All right, there he goes. You. Christian Weller.
What a man, what a man, what a mighty, mighty good man.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't press my button correctly.
No.
I hate when that happens.
Well, you need some practice. Let me show you.
All right. So the president, dear God, is it true? Is it almost time? Are we
when
there
it's
yet?
It's time to actually just go ahead and get this done. This is when folks get the most nervous.
Yeah.
They get all wee-weed up.
Yeah, people are getting all wee-weed up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially the Congressional Black Caucus. A lot of folks are nervous now.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid confirmed he plans to use reconciliation. When did we say that, Jim? A year ago?
Yes.
Why, I think they're finally listening to our show. I think
that
that's what's
it.
Happening.
They're listening to the podcast. It's a slight delay.
It's the people that write us that go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just catching up on my podcast.
Yeah.
And I see where Obama won the election.
Yeah.
Anyway, I loved your take on that, you guys.
A year ago, we were talking about reconciliation for the public option.
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath. But we're up to like 38 senators now?
41.
41?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
The problem with that theory is you would still need 60 senators to vote to let them have the vote with the reconciliation. So
yeah.
Not quite so likely.
Senator Lindsey Graham has warned that reconciliation would be the loss of the Senate as a viable institution.
Yeah. Well, it's no good
All
if you
right.
guys use it.
Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
He's also suing E-Trade because he says that little baby character named Lindsay was based on him.
Yeah.
Dad?
Lindsay.
Dad?
Yeah, Lindsay puts the S in Congress.
Yeah. By the way, once again, reconciliation since 1981 has been used 22 times, 14 times by Republicans.
Well, it's different when we do it.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's
important stuff.
It was different
tax
when they did it. They did this with their hands when they did that. No, it's the exact same thing. And yeah, but I did this with my hands.
So how many times totally has it been used since 81?
It has been used 22 times.
14 by Republicans.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, what do you know about
you
that? Including passing those tax cuts for the millionaires. How's that working out for you? Hmm?
All right. You know why else I think Congress is listening to us, Jim? Because there was a story that they do P90X.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Paul Ryan leads a group of congressmen in P90X every week, I'm told.
Yeah, but then in the showers, Rahm Emanuel comes and ruins it after.
It's a bipartisan ass-kicking, may I just say. I'm doing P90X and loving it. I'm seeing results already. It's the variety that I love. You pop in a different DVD every day. Some days you've got plyometrics. I still don't know what it is, Chris, but all I can say is, ow.
Yeah, but it's a good kind of ow.
That's all I can say is, ow. I'm in the room with her, folks. My pheromones are filling up the joint. The window's fogged over. The woman looks hot.
It is, you know, cardio some days. It's ab ripper some days.
Mm-hmm.
It's yoga some days. It's, you know, you've got pretty much any kind of workout you've ever done. It's just every single day. It's different. And you know what you get, Chris?
What?
You get muscle confusion.
What?
Muscle confusion is a very, very good thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
This woman's got more definition than Webster's Dictionary, folks.
Hey.
Woman's fine looking.
Take the P90X challenge with me and with Chris Lavoie, won't you? You can get a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with us for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Call them now, 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com right now and click on the banner ad. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow, I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
In jokes flying around the studio. It is the studio, so 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. It's the time of the morning when we say, Sanchez and Montebello, hola, Kate. Ah, adios, mio, mi amigo.
Support for the Mamacita y los Mookies show is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by Patron Reposado Tequila, sponsors of the upcoming Nina Totenberg Celebrity Golf Classic.
I could see that happen.
Yeah.
That was a little too realistic.
Actually, I can, too. Hey, Mamacita, speaking of tequila, I'm like Uncle Joe. I'm mentally moving kind of slow at the junction this morning.
Yes.
And I was listening to Congressman Ron Kind's explanation right now about the Democrats using reconciliation. I'm sorry, but did you understand him fully? Did you understand that explanation as to the delay in the vote?
The delay in which vote?
What's
in the House?
What's holding up the Democrats in this reconciliation vote?
Well, there's some vote on Monday, right, Chris?
Well, yeah. That's
what CNN's reporting this morning.
That was on the Chiron. I'm not exactly sure exactly what vote that is, though. So
it's some vote. It's something.
Well, it could just be a procedural vote, Stephanie.
Yes.
Look. Remember, it's been almost a month since I made the great stuffed beaver challenge right here on the Mamacita y los Mookies newscast. Remember?
Uh-huh.
I
nice
said if
beaver.
The Democrats voted for a simple reconciliation, I'd eat a stuffed beaver. I'll have you know, stuffed beaver doesn't keep well in the fridge. What's holding these people up?
Your beaver has begun to turn.
Oh, God,
all right.
Yes.
All right, Sanchez, thank you for calling. We will keep you apprised of all the breaking news.
Okay, LBJ wouldn't put up with a wait like this. Yeah. LBJ would throw Lieberman across the Oval Office.
Yeah, there'd be crashing and stuff in the, exactly. I was reading, yes, go ahead, Chris.
Well, a Democratic leadership source told CNN that the legislative push begins Monday when the House Budget Committee is expected to vote on a key procedural piece of the health care package. So it's not a big vote, it's just a procedural vote in the budget committee.
You don't want to rush things. It's only been a year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What could possibly go wrong?
But it's an indication that the final push is upon us.
Oh, thank God.
I'm dithering here.
By the way, Senator Mitch McChinless of Kentucky vowed the Democrats could expect a severe reaction if they resort to reconciliation.
Much like getting poison sumac in your eye.
Exactly. That's like getting poison oak in your eye.
As opposed to the foot massage he'll give them if they don't use reconciliation.
Yeah. But for Reid to announce the plan to use reconciliation means he's confident that wavering Senate Democrats will support him, and he must not be too fearful of a severe reaction because, as we know, he is up for re-election, by the way.
Can we get this done so we can start going after the bankers again? Because they're up to their old shenanigans and that they're getting away with murder again.
Oh, I mainly brought this up, Jim, to make fun of Mitch McConnell because he's actually described in a news story this morning as the soft-spoken lip-pursing Kentucky Republican, which is kind of funny because it implies that he has two
both
lips.
Yeah.
But we know he only has one.
I'm capable of pursing just my upper lip. Not many people can do that.
I want to feel sorry for him, but I keep telling him, you shouldn't have looked at the Ark of the Covenant when they opened it.
Oh, this is interesting.
Indy shut his eyes and he's fine.
I'd like to see what you... my lip melted.
Just his upper lip melted. President Obama has met the enemy and his name is Mitch. Well, the second time this week, the president called out Mitch McConnell by name. First of all, he said, I heard the Republican leader of the Senate say, you better be careful about voting for this, it could hurt you. I don't know how sincere the Republican leader is about the best interests of Democrats, but he's been very generous with advice. When someone hooted from the back of the room Wednesday night, Obama stopped mid-speech and said, was that Mitch McConnell? They don't like it when we're telling the truth. Then he said the other day, the echo chamber is telling members of Congress, wait, think about the politics instead of thinking about doing the right thing. That's what Mitch McConnell said. So he's calling them out left and right.
I don't know. I'm glad he's having the calling out the lying douchebags in public option, but I think he should go even farther. He's probably smarter than me. I would say if you don't support competition, you're not a capitalist, and if you don't want to help the sick, you're not a Christian. And if you don't want to save lives, you're no patriot. I would go even farther and thrash these clowns. But Obama's smarter than me, I hope.
That would make Mitch McConnell's upper lip curl entirely up into the, like, almost near his forehead.
It'd be on his uvula.
They would eat tongs exactly. to get it back down.
I'm not a person who can purse his uvula. Right. We're not going to see that in any medical journals, but I remember
he'd have to purse his bottom lip against his uvula because he doesn't have a top lip to purse his bottom lip against.
Right.
What would happen if...
Can you purse a single lip?
No, you cannot. By definition, you can't.
No.
That's
it
a question.
Takes two.
I hope Imus asks that the next time Mitch McConnell is on his show. Mitch, I have a question here on Imus.
Is it possible to purse a lip when you only have one lip, Mitch?
Yes.
Can we get some
Stephanie Miller says it's impossible to purse just one lip, but what is your reaction to that?
It's the Imus Mitch McConnell voice off.
I don't understand what you're saying.
The Hamburglar.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's a nine-letter word for drinking problem?
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Mama just got booked on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC, everybody.
Hooray!
I'll be doing the Club Ed feature, which means I'll be stealing many of John Fugelsang and Jim Ward's jokes.
Hooray!
And presenting them as my own on Club Ed tonight on MSNBC.
Sweet.
Tune in, won't you?
That's great. Do it with a Mexican accent. You know who we're talking about.
All right. We've been talking about the... It seems like we're very close. Robert Gibbs yesterday on health care.
Our hope is to get this done as soon as possible. If it takes a couple extra days after a year, it takes a couple of extra days.
So you're backing off the 18th day?
No, I'm saying that the president wants, as does everybody here, wants to get this done as soon as possible.
Not me, Jim. I hope it goes on for two more years so we can talk about it every day.
Tumors need to grow. And this is all this dithering for something that's not going to go into effect until 2013 anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess so. You know what? I think Nancy Pelosi is listening to the podcast, Jim, because she's now catching up with you. She says that she concedes Democrats allowed the health care reform debate to be hijacked by insurance companies and other interests set on killing the bill. She said the fact that the House and Senate had yet to come to any agreement about what would be in the bill... she said, when you don't have a bill yet, anyone can characterize it any way you want. And that's what we were saying, is there wasn't actually a bill.
Right.
And they kept talking about what's in the bill.
It wasn't hijacked. It was Democrats with no spine who didn't have the guts to go out there and fight because they were afraid of losing their jobs or being leaders.
Mm-hmm. She said, I think while there's some well-intentioned people who have concerns about budget and this and that, a lot of the sentiment was hijacked by a concerted effort on the part of the insurance companies and their supporters to make sure we don't have a bill. You said that, Jim. Should we let them frame the debate?
Right.
And, you know, and now we've been playing catch.
Obama, but they always do. That's how the liberal media works. Sorry, Jim.
Obama drew too heavily on the Hillary care lesson and decided to leave it all up to Congress rather than putting forth a clear plan and saying, you guys work it out. This is what
I
want.
Right. Oh, and by the way, now they're continuing, of course, their strategy of lying on reconciliation. Kit Bond, he's a man named Kit, first of all, Republican from Missouri. He told Andrea Mitchell, reconciliation for health care reform procedurally cannot be done.
Okay, we should just give up then. All right.
Okay. Claiming it was never used for major legislation without overwhelming bipartisan support. What? You wouldn't have to use reconciliation if you had overwhelming bipartisan support, you
bipartisan, he means the right wing and the extreme right wing.
Right.
Yes. Bond predicts the Senate will ultimately not be able to pass a health care bill through the reconciliation process. Bond's argument, of course, wrong on many counts. Congressional Democrats do not plan to use reconciliation to make, quote, major substantive changes, but rather to modify revenue issues. That's what reconciliation's for, like taxes and spending, like keeping most of the bill that already passed the Senate intact.
Like something the CBO says will shave $117 billion off the deficit.
Oh, that.
Regardless, Bond voted for, quote-unquote, substantive bills using the reconciliation process when he, of course, was part of the Republican-controlled Senate under Bush.
Shocking.
Uh-huh. Regarding his claim of bipartisan support for reconciliation bills in the past, the Senate under Bush passed three reconciliation bills with three or fewer Democratic votes. I guess that's what he means by overwhelming bipartisan support.
He's the most disappointing Kit since Val Kilmer did the Knight Rider remake.
And by the way, the American people do not overwhelmingly object using reconciliation for health care. A recent Progressive Change campaign committee poll of key states found majorities would not object to the Senate's use of reconciliation rules to pass with a majority vote. 58% of people, that's almost 60, Jim, from Bond State of Missouri said they would not object.
Oh, so you and your numbers and facts.
The bottom line is Americans will sign on to anything if you promise them free ringtones. And that's it.
Exactly.
It's very simple.
Why didn't we just say that?
Exactly. Lady Marmalade.
Better than Medicare for All. Yeah. Free ringtones.
Exactly. That's what you really
want. If I can get that Axl Frog ringtone, I would vote for anything.
You'll get that and more. We're going to have a middle-class ringtone giveaway.
Craig in Buffalo. Craig in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Craig.
Hi, Stephanie. Love your show.
Love you. Long time.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused, I think, about the health care bill. I was under the impression that the health care bill would lower the price of health care, but your last guest said that it would actually make increases more predictable and smaller. So those don't...
Wait a minute. Health care, are you talking about insurance premiums?
Yeah, that's what he said, right? It would make the premiums, the increase, smaller and more predictable. But I thought it was supposed to lower the cost. Or am I getting something mixed up here?
Well, it will lower the cost for many people, but the deal is its cost will always go up. It's not going to be a fixed cost for the rest of time. And so instead of having these huge Bigfoot-sized increases in premiums that the insurance companies want to throw at you, it'll control that and harness it in and make it more affordable for a family over a period of decades.
Yeah, so Anthem California can't just go, 39%. That's how much.
And poor people still be subsidized, right?
Well, in a decent society, they would be.
Yes. Thank you, Craig. Charlie in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Charlie.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I've been practicing over 40 years when the nonprofit Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance was in effect. And, of course, when the profits came, it just ruined the practice of medicine and made it very expensive. Of course, the high technology has cost a lot, too. But if the only way you're going to really solve this, and they're just... whistling Dixie, if they think this bill they've got under consideration now is enacted, the government option is the only way you're going to get out of this. Because let the for-profit insurance companies just go ahead and operate. But as long as you have the government option, they're going to have to be competitive. Everybody will just be a big immigration to the government option. Just everybody will take the government option.
Exactly.
It'll be similar to a Medicare.
That's exactly what they're afraid of. Thank you, Charlie. That's exactly what they're afraid of, you know, is that real competition. Since when are they so scared, capitalists?
I know. They don't want to actually, do away with private insurance, but let it die out on the vine over 50 years and let it shrivel up and let those folks find their jobs somewhere else. Because ideally, again, you got to name one capitalist ally of the United States that's tried to trade in their socialized medicine for a system like ours.
I love when they say, well, this will hurt the insurance companies. I'm like,
yes.
Okay, good.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
And save lives.
But it won't. I mean, seriously, saying that a public option is going to hurt insurance companies is like saying community college will destroy the Ivy League.
Yeah.
That's all we're talking
about. Former campaign manager, Obama campaign manager Steve Hildebrand, is concerned Democrats could get slaughtered in this fall's elections if they continue to not live up to their campaign promises. I'm hoping that's what they're really getting wind of, through this, reconciliation and the fact that I think they realize they have got to pass this because this latest Republican strategy of trying to scare them into not voting it for. I mean, clearly they're telling you the opposite of what's true. They want you to vote for it, they don't want you to vote for it because they know it's going to benefit them politically.
They're going to get slaughtered no matter what. The difference is slaughter or genocide, and I'm hoping it's just going to be a slaughter. They're going to lose votes, folks, but they're not going to lose their majorities. And they won't lose their majorities in either house. And if they can contain the losses, they'll be fine. Listen, so many Democrats are jumping ship as it is. I mean, they're the ones who are blowing it for themselves. And that's why you're right to pass this bill now and have bragging rights.
Representative Nancy Pelosi talking about the deadline.
March 18th is an interesting date. We will take up the bill when we're ready to take up the bill.
Oh, hello.
It's an interesting day.
She busted out the nunchucks there.
Yeah.
Rom, talking to you. Naked man. All right, Nancy Pelosi again.
As I say, our clock starts ticking when we get the final CBO report. We don't have the final yet, but we have a pretty good idea of where we are going on it.
Mm. 60 Minutes clock starts today, right, Chris? The CBO report today. They think we're going to get it.
Yeah. By all accounts, it's today, but it's not guaranteed.
That's what the Congress critter told us.
He said it's most likely today.
Representative Pelosi again.
We will have at least 1 week to have our own conversations about, at least, it may take longer, and we will take up the bill when we're ready to take up the bill.
Tick-tock.
We should just keep calling her office and play that.
Biden had a great line this week on Chris Matthews. You know, Matthews asked about it, and Biden said, look, it's hard to describe in a soundbite. It's a really complicated bill to solve a really complicated problem. It's not perfect, and it's going to take a long time. I mean,
wait,
Biden,
Chris Matthews let someone answer? Is that your...
Chris Matthews had a... Come on, you saw this. Matthews had a beautiful interview with Biden in the
he
Holy
did.
Land.
In
and
Israel,
spread out over
yes.
two nights. The problem with the interview was that Israel decided to smack Biden in the face publicly after they had shot the interview, so it was a bit anticlimactic. But Biden said, it's a really complicated bill, and it's hard to explain it. So the Democrats are running with their good talking points. 30 million more will be covered. It'll wipe out pre-existing conditions. Again, the flip side a lot of progressives don't like with the bill is it's going to mandate people to buy this crappy product mm-hmm. of private insurance.
Well, you know, even Mitt Romney said the mandate was critical in making the Massachusetts deal, you know, his health reform in Massachusetts work.
Yes, his particular brand of socialism.
Exactly. President Obama pushing Harry Reid to go further than Obama has previously disclosed to strip the final health care bill of the narrow deals aimed at appeasing specific senators like the, Cornhusker.
Whatever.
Kickback thing.
Louisiana Purchase.
Yes, the Medicare Advantage cuts in Florida that Grampy McSane brought up. Huh? What about that? Huh?
Huh?
The president's like, good point.
Huh?
You're agreeing with me?
Huh?
Obama has asked Reid to strike provisions requested by senators from at least five other states in an unusual move that accentuates the culture clash between the president's rhetoric on changing the ways of Washington and the Senate leaders' need to exercise the old-fashioned tools of Congress. I think he's making...
Old-fashioned tools. The army
Thank
tools.
You. He's making an effort to change the way Washington works. By the way, they noted that you brought up Lyndon Johnson earlier. Then Senate Majority Leader Lyndon Johnson promised the construction of a federal dam in exchange for votes on the Civil Rights Act from a group of Western Democrats. So, I mean, while they've always done these kind of deals,
The way Ben Nelson just fleeced them for a vote on a bill that may, worst case scenario, not even happen. So, I mean, I'm really hoping that there is some payoff for this graph we've got going on.
I'm guessing Lyndon Johnson on the next thing in the negotiation was, how about if I throw you out the Oval Office window then?
Lyndon Johnson
You don't take the dam, then how about if I...
LBJ would have held Lieberman upside down out the window like Ben Klein and Wanda.
Right.
Didn't hear what you said, boy. Repeat that one more time. Johnson would have thrashed him.
Was that a yes?
Do you want the dam?
Computer says no.
Oh, all right. How about if I shove some of the White House china up your ass? How about that?
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
No?
No.
45 minutes after the... I have no... See, I would... My dad, they... Barry Goldwater said my dad drove Lyndon Johnson nuts, and I think posthumously I'm driving him nuts as well. Isn't that weird?
Posthumously, yes.
Yes, posthumously.
And posthumously.
Posthumously.
Well, Bush might be listening. You know.
Fertilizing.
46 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you like the Oscars, Steppers?
I did like the Oscars. Sandra Bullock won, and that's all I care about. And I'm glad she won just for Miss Congeniality. I didn't even see the other movie.
Well, I think she did win for Miss Congeniality. I don't think she actually won for the thank you, white Texas lady, for fighting the civil rights movement on behalf of us helpless black people. Thank you, white lady.
That was a bit of a pandering movie.
You think?
Yeah. I didn't see it. I got to go see it. I love her.
No one saw it. They just voted for it anyway.
Leave it up to Whitey to save the black guy.
Exactly. This is like back in the early 90s when every apartheid movie had a white person fighting apartheid for the helpless blacks. Remember that dry white season?
Well, I got Barack Obama elected single-handedly almost.
Well, that's true. We give you credit for it. You helped him out. You helped him out.
Anyway.
That Neil Patrick Harris opening number, can I just say that song sucked so hard, the next morning my TV screen had a hickey on it. All right? The first Oscars to open with a prison rape joke in the first line of the first opening song. Really beautiful moment. It's the Oscars are when, like, the most popular people in the world get together and have a popularity contest. And I like that. I like that we judge the, we evaluate the greatest achievements in cinema by talking about clothes people are wearing. It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly.
I enjoy it. I thought by the fourth hour it really picked up, though. I really did. It got better as it went along.
I didn't make it that far. But Catherine Bigelow won, first woman to win the Best Director. I was thrilled about that.
Yeah, but no one talked to the first African-American.
Did I see that movie? No.
That's a good movie. I think Precious is in many ways an even better movie.
Yes.
And I was so thrilled that we had the first African-American screenwriter win an Oscar. Got no coverage.
Right. Yeah.
He should have paid a white lady to interrupt him in his speech,
yeah,
and then we have it all over the place.
Well, I'm sure that Barbara Streisand didn't appreciate giving out the first Best Director Oscar to another woman instead of herself.
I bet she was screaming and stuff crashing when she found out.
She knew what she was there for. She knew what she was there for. She knew it was coming. Come on now.
Listen, I think she should have gotten it for Yentl. I love that movie. I don't care.
Over Amadeus?
That was against Amadeus. I don't care.
Everyone complains Barbara Streisand didn't win an Oscar. Look at the film, the ones that beat her. That was Milos Forman for Amadeus for Yentl, and the last time was for Prince of Tides, which,
She was rocked by Amadeus.
I mean, really? Prince of Tides? Come on, I hope it motivates Barbara Streisand to get out
Nolte,
there.
Nick, that's the last time he was dreamy, I don't care.
Lowenstein, come on over here, Lowenstein. Come on. I'm going to show you some abuse tricks that De Niro taught me in Cape Fear earlier in the year, and I'll shoot now.
It's turning me on. The Nick Nolte voice is turning me on.
Oh, I can do Nick Nolte all night for you, baby. I do it all day long. I can even do Nick Nolte when he gets all emphatic in his upper register.
It's like Tom Waits on a good day.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? John Fieri. Is he in relation to Dr. Huffer? Or Dr. Furr?
Huffer.
John Fieri.
Dr. Furr.
Okay, I'm the president.
The president's priorities are a little bit mixed up right now. His first thing should have been jobs. We've been saying that all along. Jobs, jobs, jobs. He's not been talking about it. He's been really fixated on this health care thing, which I'm not sure is going to really help create jobs. Some people say it is. I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to be bad for jobs, and I think that is the priority problem for the president.
Jobs. That was George Bush's big priority.
Good idea. Mm-hmm. Good idea. We should just stop. You know what? Drop health care. Forget it. Just go. Down.
Just so you know, that's going to be the talking point number one hear until Election Day, you just heard. So be prepared.
And
start writing your comeback story.
And they can't.
Well, there was just a jobs bill, John, that got, once again, zero Republican votes. So if they were that concerned about jobs.
Exactly.
You'd think they might have voted for a bill with the word jobs.
We're ahead. Speak
Ingram.
Jobs. Talk about it, at least.
Laura Ingraham, who a caller said earlier, is a Satan's daughter. I don't know.
That's kind of unkind to Satan, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's adopted, okay?
Right.
I'm sure she's adopted.
I'm sure Satan is where she got her voice.
I'm sure she's there in his masturbation chamber when he's masturbating to a
girl. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Beck. Tell me more why we should blame Acorn. Yes. Tell us more how Bush kept people safe for 8 years and don't bring up 9/11. That's right. Oh. Nixon,
bring me more
tissues, Nixon.
Daddy.
What do you want, Laura? Daddy's having his private time now.
If he had all that much power, couldn't he make her voice less nasal?
All right. He wouldn't be Satan.
Laura Ingraham.
And couldn't he make her show a little less of a copy of this one?
Laura Ingraham.
Liberals are furious because this thing hasn't gotten pushed through. Pro-life Democrats feel totally dissed by this entire process. And House Democrats don't trust the Senate to do any type of reconciliation with this at the very end of it. So I think all of this is coming to a head. They are panicked on Capitol Hill. Of course they're not going to make this deadline next week because they don't have the votes.
I think she's actually right in almost everything she said there.
No, I don't think so.
No?
And who sounded more panicked, her or me? It seems like the right is the one that's panicking to me.
They don't even care. Listen, I mean, if this health care bill gets passed, that's going to be the best thing the right wing ever had for election season. They're going to run against this no matter what. They don't care either way. Their job is getting paid by their lobbyists. That's all they care about, folks. Health care or not, as long as they can be negative and hurl crap at somebody. Again, tell your Republican friends, these are the people that caused the recession we're in right now, and they're blaming Obama. You don't blame your hangover on the guy making breakfast.
Like that poor Sean Hannity. He has such a short-term memory problem, doesn't he, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there was no corruption at all in the last Congress. Right?
You know, I, from my vantage point, we're looking at the most corrupt, the most unethical,
Congress that we've ever seen in our lifetime, undermining our tradition, undermining specific language that's in our U.S. Constitution about, they were very specific how laws should be passed before a president can sign it as it relates to, you know, separation of powers. And I can't. Is this because they can't get the votes, so now they are going to change the rules in the middle of the game or during the game?
And you should listen to me because I'm a constitutional scholar, because I know how to spell Constitution.
By the way, you know, provably, legally, mathematically, last Congress was the last and most corrupt Congress.
Mm-hmm. This is a guy who prays to a picture of Reagan.
What he's talking about, because we got one guy that likes to snorkel sailors, and Charlie Rangel's under investigation, that's it? It's the most corrupt Congress?
Give me a break. This guy, please. Sean Hannity, sleeps with a plush toy of Reagan every night, and that was the most corrupt administration in the world. And I'd love to see Sean talk about government corruption with his hero Oliver North sometime on the air.
Yeah.
Tell me again how you arm both sides of the Iran-Iraq war, Colonel. Brilliant, brilliant. After Congress passed that stuffy old law saying you couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. And he does frequently talk about stuff like that with his good friend Oliver North.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little irony deficient in
that
area. Let
me tell you something. This goes back to Bill Clinton and the impeachment. If conservatives really didn't like people lying under oath, Oliver North would be biting a pillow in a federal pen right now. That's right.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Right Wing World Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Howdy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. We are knee-deep in Fridays with Buglesang. John Buglesang here in the New York Bureau.
You're soaking in it.
Executive producer Chris LaVoy and voice deity Jim Ward in the Los Angeles Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the potty. All right. Oh, by the way, is it on StephanieMiller.com? Can you hear the Lily Tomlin interview from yesterday? If you
you can. Just go to the audio widget on the left side of the homepage at StephanieMiller.com.
Ooh, we have widgets.
Lots of email, about the Lily Tomlin interview.
Was she asking about me?
Constantly. I said, stop bringing up John Fugel's
name. So embarrassing. It was so long ago. Jeez. Stop that.
She knows who I am.
Yeah, we totally geeked out. Yeah, you asked me, Chris, if I have a tape of my first interview with her when I was a baby DJ.
Yeah.
Back in Chicago, and oh, dear God, thank God I blew that up, because that was... It consisted mostly of Lily Flynn. That was it. Kind of pretty much.
You remember when you did? It was so
awesome.
Lily Flynn. Oh. And I had, Jim does an impression of me. I don't know what was wrong with my voice. Was like 7 octaves higher than
yes,
I don't
it was.
Know.
What
my, yes, I just love your show. I just want to.
You sounded like Bradley Schlossman.
Yeah, that's when you were Brando, right?
I had my original nose. I mean, it really was.
I love your show. I love what you're doing.
Lily
is really great. Thing into the world. Bradley Schlossman, the Schlossinator. Yeah, he sounds just like that. And he looks like a guy who would sound like that.
I could have had class. That was my brother Charlie. Sure looked out for me a little bit.
Well, that was my voice. You. That was my voice in 1987 when I did my first Lily Tomlin interview. There you go.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh. That was several boxes of wine ago before I started to, you know, to get into this tranny register that I'm in now.
Which we like.
We love our tranny.
You're
friends.
Almost there.
Yes, we do.
Just a few more
What's
shots.
What's not to love?
That's
I'm getting into my sort of old Lucy years some days.
You really
I?
Are. Yeah. What's going on?
Some mornings, I'm just like, good morning, Chris. Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah,
God.
Just do the wah, Ricky. I've got a new charity called Emails for Shemales that I want to tell you about.
Good. Thank you. All right. John, we talked to Reverend Wallace earlier on the show, and we've been making frequent visits to Satan's masturbation room where he's enjoying Glenn Beck.
Well, yeah, because Glenn Beck said that Christians should leave any church that talks about social justice. I think Glenn Beck should leave any church before he bursts into flames.
Yes, exactly.
the Glenn Beck way. But yeah, so Glenn Beck, and we realize that, you know, it's people kind of know this, but Glenn Beck is actually what Satan uses when he wants to masturbate.
I think so.
On the Glenn Beck show, the whole Fox lineup, really.
Yeah. But there's just a big tub of lotion there.
Guys know what it's like. I mean, you can go and look at your garden variety porn anytime, but when you need something to get the job done, you go for the filthy stuff, and that's when Satan turns to Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Bring in the tarp, Nixon. Roy Cohn, where's my lotion? Bring me a tub of lotion, Roy Cohn. Right now. And you can sit there for a while, but I'm saving that seat for Hannity.
All right. So we believe in social justice. We don't really judge. Let me just say, this guy, I think, is going to hell. Iowa police say a man broke into a church and used their equipment to watch porn.
Oh.
That guy's
wow.
That guy's going to hell.
Yeah.
Second-degree burglary charges have been filed.
Was it the priest's stash?
Jim Louise Ward. He broke into a church where he allegedly used the institution's electronic equipment to watch pornography. He broke into the First Christian Church on Thursday after gathering items from around the building. He's believed to have gone to the basement to spend the night where he watched the porn.
In defense of spiritual defense of porn, there is no other branch of media where you hear the phrase, oh, God, more often.
Mm-hmm. So that's true. There is that. Kind of like one of those bits that got us fired from the other station.
Mm. Oh, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Remember, folks, if God didn't like sex, he wouldn't make you cry out his name when it's really hot.
All
great
right.
Sex is God's way of telling you the Pope is wrong.
Let's finish up the right-wing world, shall we? Sean Hannity, he's found a new joke, John, because I guess Rahm Emanuel likes to shower naked, which is...
Yeah.
All right, the report that Rahm, the Naked One Emanuel, isn't afraid to conduct health care negotiations in places like the showers of Capitol Hill, it surprised a lot of Americans, but not former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Now, he's known and worked with Emanuel for quite some time and says he wouldn't put it past him, saying, quote, the story of him in the shower with Congressman Massa sure sounds like the Rahm I know. Well, actually, I hope he doesn't know him that well. Frightening.
So in that story, he completely left out that Rahm was fully clothed in the shower. When that happened, Rahm walked into the shower, still fully clothed, and Sean failed to mention that. But he did mention two disgraced Democrats who are poor.
Yes, it was a way of getting two other Democrats in there. I don't think he was clothed. I think he was, Eric Massa says he was naked.
Massa says Massa was naked. Rahm wasn't naked.
No, Rahm was naked, too.
Oh, was he?
It was the shower.
So what did he poke him with?
His finger.
Oh, okay. Dude.
John,
well, he's a tall
John
guy.
Louise,
he's a tall
saying.
Guy.
All right. Rush Limbaugh on the Massa scandal.
I don't know where the scandal is with Eric Massa. I mean, so he's performing these kind of sexual acts in the Navy, and I thought the Democrats, don't ask, don't tell. Where's the scandal? I mean,
exactly.
No big deal. This is what they.
Wow. He was at a loss for words.
Yeah, he tried to make a don't ask, don't tell comparison, but
that was sort of a gay joke.
Yes. He ran out of steam there.
Well, Rush gets upset because his belly is so huge he can't even see when he's snorkeling someone.
He wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
So what is happening down there? Is there a ditto cam down there so I can see? What am I taking place?
Worst Dirty Sanchez ever.
Oh.
Ew. Glenn Beck on the TV.
We have to know our history. Progressives have written and rewritten history. Have you ever heard of the Nazis in America before?
What?
We have to know about the Nazis and next the people that led them and then the communists that were here so we don't repeat our own history.
What the hell is he talking about? I think I am a Nazi communist because I'm at war with myself. Nazis are right-wing, folks. They're in Glenn Beck's camp, okay? Mm-hmm. That's where they are in the spectrum. Please remind your conservative friends.
Hi, Jim, this is what Reverend Wallace told us earlier this morning. Glenn Beck says anybody that mentions social justice in they need to leave that church if their church talks about social justice. That's all Jesus talked about.
Yeah, that was
I mean, what it's the basis. What the hell is he talking about?
And the Nazis were big on social justice.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. They were all about it. You know, the Nazis used the word socialism just to get in power, the National
right.
Socialist
exactly.
Party. They weren't socialists. They used the word like right. compassionate conservative to get votes.
Hitler actually infiltrated something called the National German Workers' Party and turned it into the Nazi Party.
Exactly.
And don't you love, by the way, they're always saying we're a Christian nation? Yesterday, I was thinking about how mean-spirited we've become in some ways because of the, you know, I think the Glenn Becks of the world when the story about Harry Reid's wife and daughter being in an accident broke yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? I was looking, when it first broke online on my, you know, whatever, news wires.
Right.
And then, you know, some of the stories, because they have, mm-hmm. Where, you know, people can post comments.
Yes.
And so his Senate Majority Leader Terry's wife and daughter were being treated for serious injuries they suffered in a car accident. His wife broke her back and her neck in the accident. Mm-hmm. His adult daughter apparently, I think, had facial lacerations. Mm-hmm. It was a serious accident.
Yes,
but anyway,
it was.
But the first poster was like, who cares? Like, have we become that sort of mean and politicized?
We
because
have.
Why? Because Harry Reid's like a political enemy to some people?
You know why? It's because those posters get to post anonymously. So mm-hmm. they can post anything without any kind of repercussion whatsoever.
It's like, this is what I'm saying, is like, is there some point where politics stop, where you a man's wife broke her neck today?
It's nothing new. This has been going on since Jefferson's day, and Roosevelt was pilloried every bit as bad as Clinton and Obama were pilloried. It's nothing new. The spiritual challenge to us is to be mensches and not be complete douchebags when tragedy strikes. Harry Reid is having a really bad year, and of course there's going to be some cold-hearted, soulless slime bags who are going to post things like that. Take solace in the fact that you're not that way, and you have your humanity still, and that Sean Hannity looks like Fred Flintstone.
Senator Harry Reid yesterday, before he went to the hospital, actually, talking about health care. Senator Harry Reid.
Health reform is not about numbers. It's about people. It's not about process, as the other side wants us to believe. It's about pain, real pain, suffered by real people.
Yeah, which, by the way, ironic, right, that he's saying that before this happened to his wife and daughter. Mm-hmm. Think about the fact that how glad he probably feels he has the health care plan he has as a government employee. Can you imagine if you're one of the millions of people uninsured and your wife and daughter just got in a serious car accident?
Well, bankruptcy for you.
Yeah, and of all the funny things about Dick Cheney's fifth heart attack, and yes, there are funny things about a fifth heart attack when it's Dick Cheney, it's a guy with socialized health care whose life was saved by socialized health care that you paid for, but he doesn't want you to ever have socialized health care.
But most people couldn't afford to have stents and five heart attacks and the kind of care he's had, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Dick Durbin yesterday.
Anyone who would stand before you and say, well, if you pass health care reform, next year's health care premiums are going down, I don't think is telling the truth. I think it is likely they would go up, but what we're trying to do is slow the rate of increase.
Well, especially because it won't go into effect until 2013 anyway, so they can still have their chicanery for a while before it kicks in.
Senator Mitch McGinnis of Kentucky.
Americans aren't in any rush to pass this or any other 2,700-page bill that poses as reform, but actually raises the cost of health care.
Maybe they
and members
be,
of Congress shouldn't be deceived by these theatrical attempts to create a sense of urgency about this legislation.
Maybe there wouldn't be a sense
What's
of urgency if they
of?
Had Mitch McConnell's health care plan.
Can I say Mitch McConnell does a great Jim Ward impression?
He really does. Now I can't take him seriously because I only picture Jim.
With a name like Schmuckers, it has to be good.
Just like the same reason it's hard to talk about Charlie Rangel. Exactly.
It's that mimic again. They're sprouting up like mushrooms. Mimics
you know, if
everywhere.
I could just...
So getting health care, that's theatrics now?
Yeah.
Jazz hands, spirit fingers. I love that, isn't it? It's whenever Democrats do anything, it's always theatrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. 5, 6, 7, 8, I hope we get it. I hope we... Okay.
They don't mind a big bill that they don't read when it's Bush putting it through, like the Patriot Act. You know, these guys don't read to begin with. John Kenneth Galbraith nailed it. He said the modern conservative is engaged in one of man's oldest exercises, the search for a superior moral justification for selfishness.
Yep.
And that's all this is, folks. If you're a Christian, if you are a patriot, you want your country and your countrymen to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 17.
Sorry, got a little preachy moment.
That's communistical.
Yeah, well.
Mm-hmm. With socialistical sprinklings. 17 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Eric Massa implosion, celebrity stack, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour.
Yeah.
What do you think of Massagate so far?
Well, I feel bad for Massa because, honestly, he's the only Democrat in all of Congress who has no black friends. And that's pretty hard for a guy, you know, and he meets a lot of good brothers. They're all like, Eric, you're a good guy. I like you, man, but just the last name, I can't be seen with you. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's not going to happen. Not going to happen, bro. So I have a lot of pity for him on top of everything.
Yeah. Representative Nancy Pelosi was asked about the when she knew what.
1-2-3-person removed rumor that had been reported to Mr. Hoyer's office that they reported to my staff, which they did not report to me because, you know what, this is rumor city.
By the way, doesn't this just crack you up while John Ensign is still staying right in the Senate?
Well, for now.
They're
we'll
trying
see
to investigate, and Massa's already left. I mean, it's...
This has got very little to do with Eric Massa's sexual behavior and a lot to do with his emotional state of being right now, I think. And that's why it's being, you know, hopefully swept under the rug really quick, because it's more about the guy's health, I think. If you watch the Glenn Beck show, I mean, watching those two have the dueling meltdowns. Although it was the first time I'd ever seen someone bring their gay sex Navy yearbook onto a news show, so that was that was pretty worth watching. But
wow.
Yeah, when Glenn Beck looks like the stable voice of reason.
Did the boner actually say this with a straight face after being in the most corrupt Congress in history, the last Congress, and meanwhile they've been, like I say, keeping their friend John Ensign in office?
Mm-hmm. The American people have every right to expect that their members of Congress are held to the highest ethical standards.
That should be at the top of their list,
Jake.
But Chris Matthews will be around later on to give his commentary on NASA.
Yay.
Fair enough.
The Justice Department and the Senate investigators are broadening their inquiries into Senator John Ensign's sex scandal. Sources tell Politico a new report appearing to show additional previously undisclosed efforts by the Nevada Republican to land a job for the aggrieved husband of his former mistress.
Even George Bush never asked Mommy and Daddy to pay off his mistress's husband. I mean, that's how sad it is.
He just had Carl Rove kill them and buried him somewhere in the desert in Texas.
I mean, it's like the one thing Bush never had his parents bail him out for. Ensign. It's pretty crooked. He's not sticking around.
I love this. Asked by Politico this week about the running investigation, Ensign shrugged, threw up his hands, and made a motion indicating his lips were zipped. I shudder to think what hand motions Eric Massa would make if he were asked about investigation.
My Navy thing, you wouldn't understand. Yeah. What's a guy got to do to get kicked out of the Navy under Don't Ask, Don't Tell? That's my question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if that didn't get him kicked out.
Exactly. All right. Meanwhile, by the way, the ACLU, you talked about this earlier, John, the ACLU of Mississippi is suing to force a school district to host a prom it canceled after a lesbian student asked to bring her girlfriend and wear a tuxedo. Wow.
Girls don't wear tuxedos.
We're not tuxedo people. Oh, my God. We just did that in unison.
Wow.
They are suing on behalf of 18-year-old Constance McMillan. The school district said it would not host the prom at Itawamba. Wow. Itawamba High School.
Is that up the transit from Lackawanna and Cheektowaga?
Itawamba.
I don't think it's Itawamba. Why'd they get away with it?
I'm not sure what it is, but it's not a Wamba.
Seriously.
You're despicable.
It's a Wamba! It's a Wamba! Show me now!
Okay.
She says the 18-year-old Mississippi lesbian said she got some unfriendly looks from classmates when she reluctantly returned to campus on Thursday.
Oh, that's a shock. You know what, though? There's no one braver. My heroes are gay teens who come out in high school and fat people who join gyms. Those are my heroes because it's so hard and it's such a struggle. But I had a lesbian couple at my prom back in the 80s. I mean,
wow.
Listen, this is all, again, this goes back to Christianity and people misconstruing it. Christianity does have rules against men with men, but there is not a single rule in the entire Bible prohibiting women with women.
Right.
Let me say that again.
Hot.
Yeah, it's kind of important. There's nothing against, there's no
There's nothing in the Bible that says it's hot, Jim.
There's nothing in the Bible against women with women. So just remember, the Bible and Vivid Video have the same exact policy. By the way, the second most quoted Bible verse in weddings is from the book of Ruth, where I will live where you live, I will die where you die, right. And that's about two women, and they don't even realize it. In your face, Itawamba.
I think you're breaking a minute early, but I could be wrong.
You're right, I am. Gosh, darn it.
Oh, a lot of guys have that problem.
Listen, it's okay. A lot of guys are premature. It's nothing to be ashamed about.
Mm-hmm. Ask your doctor if you're ready for
Itawamba.
Itawamba.
Was Satan premature this morning?
Should I have you do the show from a bathtub facing the ocean at some point?
Well, I just had my first experience of seeing a guy I know in a Cialis commercial.
I know two guys in
yeah,
Cialis commercial.
That's awkward, huh? Because then you see him the next time, you're like, good work in the Cialis commercial. The equipment works fine, pal. I'm an actor, okay?
It's just a job.
Anything. I'm fine. I'm an actor. It's all it is. Oh. I don't need it.
Hey, it's an erectile dysfunction guy.
All right. You gave me the Book of Ruth. You gave me the segue about Lady Gaga and who she's open to dating.
Huh?
Squeezy alert. Squeezy alert. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack on the Stephanie Miller Show. Future husband?
Stephanie Miller.
Who did you put in your address book as future husband?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, whenever I find something weird in my cell phone, I can usually trace it back to the last time I was drunk.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of Fridays with Fuglesang, John Fuglesang here in the New York Bureau.
That's
Chris LaVoy,
right.
And Jim Ward back in the Los Angeles Bureau. The Dow is up 13 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we were talking about the lesbian teen in Mississippi and the prom and that whole thing. So, Squeezy, this one is for you. Lady Gaga says she is open to dating women.
If you could hit
the Squeezy music.
Exactly?
Well, I don't know if
so she's not actually
trying to shock you.
She's not
trying to titillate you.
She's not dating a woman. She's just open to it.
Right.
She's open to it.
Jeez,
I want to. And Jim is open to watching it.
In her new video with Beyonce that just came out last night, she kisses a few women.
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah, baby.
So what you're saying is she's released this statement about being with women to time with her new video for her new single?
What?
Dare I say she's exploiting the sapphic community for record sales?
And in her new video, she rides around with Beyonce in the pee wagon from Kill Bill.
Oh dear. So what you're saying is that she's using lesbians more than Larry Flint.
Yes.
She said, of course, there are no asked if she could see herself with a woman. She said, of course, there's no rules or limits when it comes to love. But I see love as separate from sex.
Okay.
So she's actually
Jim's like perfect girl for me.
So she's a guy. She could be with the same sex, but couldn't love one.
And I happen to love male sexuality. Men have something I lack. Well, it depends on what picture you're looking at. There's that one picture. She said, love is about danger. Always love jumps off cliffs. Oh, don't I know it. Love is irrational. It keeps you alive and it destroys you. It's okay. Well.
Love doesn't actually destroy you. No. Lack of love destroys you. Well, blowing it with someone destroys you.
Are you saying that all those deep thoughts were just to sell a record? John.
It's interesting how people have these revelations about their life at the same time they have a new product coming out. I don't know.
She knows
Paula
how to work
Abdul,
it.
When Paula Abdul bravely admitted her bulimia the day her autobiography was released, I just, wow. Mm. What timing.
That made me sick to my stomach, see, because that's...
You see, because...
All right. Charlie Sheen, this is another shocker. Charlie Sheen has been sleeping with prostitutes again.
What?
What?
Well, not sleeping, per se.
Well... with a according to celebitchi.com, with a prostitute that charges $2,500 a night, and he hasn't been discreet. He once gave her his ATM and PIN number.
That doesn't sound like Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
No.
How'd that intervention work out?
Guess not so much. He once wrote a check out to cash for her. He likes apparently to snort cocaine and have sex with her for hours. So I guess that's a reunion with his wife is going well.
So, in other words, there's no new news about Charlie Sheen.
No, that's...
No, sorry about that.
Right.
SOP, standard operating procedure.
Yeah. It's not news, that's
old.
You
know, here's an idea for us, John. We've just been talking today about how all agents and managers are useless. Heidi Montag has fired Spencer Pratt as her manager and replaced him with a psychic.
Oh, no.
Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah. She got a Pisces to replace the feces.
Yeah.
That's just endless. And I've met those two individuals, and it's a never-ending fun.
What occasion?
They were guests on a talk show I did in LA last year.
Okay.
And I have a very funny picture of Charmy and me with them, with a look of horror on my face. But, you know, Heidi's a good Republican, and I respect that. So I'm sure whatever, she's another Republican who likes astrology. But go Nancy Reagan. These people, first off, the Hills folks is so staged. They're Civil War reenactments less staged than this show. And Spencer Pratt, I guess now he just has to vote himself full time to being a good husband to Heidi and her new body.
Yes. So guess who Tiger Woods has hired? Ari Fleischer.
What?
George Bush's old what was he?
Propaganda minister.
Exactly.
Press
Thank you, Jeff.
Press secretary.
Press secretary. Sir Hiss, if you remember Robin Hood.
Yes. Apparently, Mark McGuire hired him as well to make us ever forget that he ever took steroids. So he's managing. Apparently, he is planning a strategy for Tiger's return to golf.
I think Dr. Drew has to have an intervention for Ari Fleischer to stop him enabling douchebags. What kind of advice does Ari Fleischer give? He's going to make Tiger get back together with the wrong woman. I mean, he helped us invade the wrong country. Why not?
Exactly. All right, this is good news for all of you fashion fans out there. Amy Winehouse is a fashion designer.
What?
Oh.
Delisted writes, if you've been looking for clothes that already come complete with cigarette burns, scab sauce, whiskey stains, and a built-in compartment to hide your stash from nosy club bouncers, you're going to have to wait till Pete Doherty comes out with his own collection, because unfortunately, Winehouse clothing line has none of those things.
Aw. Damn. Did that really use the term scab sauce?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Amy Winehouse is so talented. I'm just so rooting for her to turn it around, because we deserve a third album out of her. She's so great and such a train wreck. And unlike a lot of, you know, you watch TV and you think all addicts are no talents based on VH1.
Right.
But not true. She's quite good.
Wow. Speaking of addicts, Victoria Beckham, she used to date Corey Haim. I didn't know that. She said she has been left shocked at the death of her ex-boyfriend, Corey Haim. Mm. You were telling the story earlier, John. You did a show with him.
Yeah, and I just, you know, and it was very obvious he was troubled, and it was obvious to some of us the specific kind of trouble he was in. Corey's manager just came out and said that Corey wasn't doing any drugs at all, despite the Elvis-sized cachet found in his apartment. It's really sad, and I just long for the day when people with addiction get treatment for their affliction rather than reality shows for our amusement and titillation.
Right. Well, I was saying even this Eric Massa thing, people, you know, using him just for publicity, it has that, I was saying the Anna Nicole Smith show kind of feeling, like someone put the camera down and help her.
Yeah, we love watching celebrities, but we like watching them screw up even more.
Here's the good news. They are making Anna Nicole the Opera will premiere next February.
Full exploitative
at the Royal Opera.
Did we ask for one? Did we ask for an Anna Nicole opera?
Well, we're getting one.
Oh.
We have operas about Anna Nicole Smith and about Nixon and about
Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about maybe some, I don't know, an inspiring figure?
I want to say something shocking now. I don't think Nicolas Cage is very good with money. I said it.
He's no Tim Geithner.
I said it. He is rumored to owe around $6 million in unpaid taxes. He leased two Rolls Royces at $10,000 a month, and he's defaulted on the Rolls Royce. Shouldn't you just buy? I don't think leasing's a good deal on the Rolls Royces. Do you? If you have that kind of money, shouldn't you just buy the Rolls Royces?
Yeah. So you get to keep it at the end? Yeah, I think
something.
So.
Something. Yeah.
I'm sure
he leased two of them, and he didn't pay the lease.
You know, if Nick Cage, if you're listening, if you want to know a way to make a quick buck and pay this off, crappy action films. Just consider it.
Yes.
You know, poorly written.
That's
just show
idea.
Up, play yourself, and just
think about it.
Take a check. I've got the eyes, I've got the teeth, I've got the hair, Peggy Sue. Although it's a new decade, which means we should be getting another good Nicolas Cage movie, because he's averaging one good film.
Decade,
we had Adaptation, okay, last decade. We had Las Vegas 2 decades before that, so I'm excited.
Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona was hysterical.
My Rolls is a rocky place for my seat, could find no purchase.
Nicolas Cage, if these guys could stop being movie stars and go back to being actors, you know, rediscover it. Be an artist again.
Yes, so do depressing. Theater for free.
Exactly.
Yes,
like
yes,
Jim Dyson.
Why, no, like noted stage actor Jim Ward does.
That's right.
Which I haven't
and then he's even
years.
Crankier in the morning.
Oh, damn, you killed me trying to do a play in early morning radio at the same time.
Yeah, no.
Uh-huh. Yeah, be like me and do nonprofit theater.
Yeah, there's a reason why morning shows never appear on Broadway.
Because they don't go for booze and dope.
Dope. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So did you see for International Women's Day, Michelle Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, they were buddying up there. Michelle Obama was very funny. Did you see she misspoke? She said, let me thank my dear friend Senator, Secretary Clinton. She said, I almost said President Clinton. and we got the Hillary laugh. Hillary busted out the laugh and the applause.
They weren't getting together in a Lady Gaga, Beyonce kind of way, were they?
No.
I am so sorry I missed International Women's Day. I totally forgot. Please forgive me. It won't happen again.
You just said that to get laid. Okay. The exchange stood as another rebuke to the favored theme of the Beltway pundit said that there is still tension between Hillary and the Obamas. And she was very kind. She said, thank you for your support. Thank you for your indispensable advice in getting me through this first year and helping me figure out how to get my family settled in our new life in D.C. So she was very, she had very kind words for Hillary Clinton. And we say, for International Women's Day, you go, girl, for both of them.
So it's only for international women, not domestic ones.
Right.
Okay.
No.
Right.
It's
International House of Females.
No. Are you getting ready to grace us with Chris Matthews?
Only if there's time for
it. I think there is.
Is there? Because like we were saying before, watching Massa, and Jim, you missed this earlier, but we were talking about Matthews' show two nights ago, where I think he was the only guy to really give the Massa situation the treatment it deserved. Because he started off by saying, well, you're watching Hardball. I want to talk about Massa for 1 second. Remind you all, his name's pronounced Massa, not Massa. A lot of guys in the media calling him Massa. It's pronounced Massa like Cheney. It's not called Cheney. His name's actually called Cheney. He's just trying to get that right. It's a sad, sad, sad story. So let's go to David Schuster to start our panel. David, sad, this poor guy in this meltdown. Can't the media leave this guy alone and stop bringing up all the things he did, like groping the staff member, attacking Rahm Emanuel, and changing the reason he's leaving three times? David, why does the media keep bringing that stuff up? How's the GOP exploiting this guy? I mean, Glenn Beck's doing it for ratings. It's disgusting. Let's run that footage again of Glenn Beck exploiting this poor guy for ratings. Can we show him exploiting him right now? Show that footage again. David, hold that thought. Babe Buchanan, what's the real story here? It's like a movie. A congressman has a meltdown and he goes on TV and decries corruption. It's like Bullworth 2. At least he doesn't rap. Huh? But, Bay, could this be like Bullworth? Could this guy score with Halle Berry? He might prefer a guy named Harry Belly, but it's a tragedy. It really is. Bay, while you're thinking about that, ponder that. Andrea Mitchell, Massa said Rahm Emanuel was son of devil spawn. Son of the devil spawn. Doesn't that make him Satan's grandkid? Not so bad to me, if you ask me. The guy says he's too familiar with his staff, Andrea. Lots of Catholic boys have the same problem with their staffs. Ha! Bring Clarence Page into the dialogue. Clarence, please come join our discussion. Clarence, what do you call this now, this closeted bi thing? I mean, on Craigslist, you'd call it straight dudes for straight dudes. In the black community, I know you people call it the down low. Army calls it being in the Navy. But before you reply, Clarence, here's my question for you. Now, Clarence, they say that Massa groped a subordinate in the Navy. I gotta say, in fairness, where else are you gonna grope an actual subordinate? I mean, it's hard. You get guys say they're subordinates, but in the Navy, they really are. Clarence, how do we know the subordinate wasn't asking for it? The guy was dressed as a sailor. Maybe he wanted it. Isn't it possible Massa was being taught from the bottom? It happens all the time. Clarence, we're out of time. Don't forget, folks, it's pronounced Cheney. 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 I'm Chris Matthews. We've been here talking about erratic behavior. Cheney! Ha!
Fair enough. Father, it's pronounced Schuster.
Why does Chris Matthews bother having guests? I don't really know. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugle Slang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, that is so my humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Come on. Come on.
I wrote that.
Come on.
You did? 51 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't forget, Mama will be on the Ed Show doing the comedy segment, Club Ed.
I'm watching just for the sexual tension.
At 6 p.m.
I think Wendy would have something to say about
that.
Yeah,
a little something. 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Pacific. All right, Jerome in Los Angeles, are you there?
Jerome is not, but Kevin is.
Hello, Kev. Go ahead.
People agitated.
Hello, Kev. Hello. Talking to me now. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Kev.
Yes, with the filibuster.
Yes.
Getting rid of it. I heard on Tom Hartman yesterday, he was positing the possibility that because Republicans have abused it so much, it's creating a, you know, a move to reform it and get rid of it or modify it somehow. But the problem could be, it could be a rope-a-dope, because if they take over the House and maybe the Senate,
exactly,
the other side will have no recourse to a filibuster, mm-hmm. and they'll steamroll their agenda right through.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I hear you. All right, thank you. He heard that on Tom Hartman.
Hartman.
Get rid of the filibuster is wicked retarded.
All right.
Don't drive like my brother.
You know, here's the scary part of all this. The Supreme Court's, Citizens United decision lopped off a major portion of the American campaign finance regulation, leading critics to warn that elections would become prey to a new wave of anonymous money and aggressive political groups.
Yep.
Relax, they're already here.
That's right.
They're here. A combination of existing loopholes in campaign finance law and the alarm that President Obama has inspired on the right has given a birth and energy to a new group of little-known conservative attack groups, which are pumping cash into the airwaves in an attempt to bring a flagship opponent components of Obama's already battered agenda to a screeching halt.
Well, that's good, because we know Michael Steele's not bringing any money in.
Organizations often sporting amorphous tongue-in-cheek names like the League of American Voters and the Committee for Truth, which I'm guessing is the Committee for
Decency and Niceness and Puppies.
Yes. Committee for Big Fat Lies is essentially what that is.
Like the Clean Skies Initiative.
They're targeting congressional districts across the country with sums of money large enough to influence the debate among traditional industry groups. These new actors, sources of funding and precise agenda often are unclear. They're emerging as powerful voices in the fight over health care and regulatory reform, which you were talking about, Jim, which is what we should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
The League of American Voters just spent $250,000 on the anti-health care ads. And by the way, they're, you know, as pissed as the League of Women Voters, because they're obviously trying to sound like them.
Right.
They said they're playing on our good reputation to try and get across a negative message on an issue we're actively supporting. She called the ads lies and scare tactics about Medicare and taking over your health care and more taxes. We're trying to achieve real reform. They're doing exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here it goes. It's already starting, this flood of corporate money where we don't know where it's coming from and who's behind it.
Thanks, Supreme Court. I call them scrotus because they teabag democracy.
Exactly.
How did they let
Roberts
through
again? Guess who's writing the ads for the League of American Voters? Dick Morris is crafting.
Really?
Yes.
He took a break from his extracurricular activities and did that?
Yes.
Take the hooker's toes out of your mouth and write some smear campaigns.
Spit out the prostitute's toenails in order to write some scary health care ads.
Wow.
No one does screechy and scary better than Dick Morris, does he, Jim? He's just...
The American people are all against this because they know damn well it's going to kill Greta.
All right.
I don't need health care because you look at me, I'm the picture of health, and I've been to the doctor in years, and I know my
Oh, man.
Oh.
Dick Morris hasn't been right about anything since Bill Clinton wasn't right about Dick Morris.
Hi-o. So, speaking of scary ads, you know, Demon Seed Liz Cheney and her little group, what is it, Keep America Safe?
Keep America Safe.
Keep
like
America
Bush
safe
and Cheney
from the Cheneys.
Did. Uh-huh. Keep it safe for 8 years, except for that one time.
Yeah, except for that one time.
Her, you know, those ads that where they called the Justice Department lawyers the Al-Qaeda 7 in the web video. Supporters are dismissing concerns of the people, obviously, on the left and the right have accused her new organization of that those attacks being out of bounds.
Including Ken Starr.
All those critics are prissy.
Prissy?
Yes.
Ken Starr is a little prissy.
That is true.
U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy said people are awfully prissy. I think they're actually more upset that the language that was used in the ad was successful in attracting more attention than there was before. If you just want to attract attention, you can say anything as untrue or inflammatory as it is.
Set fire to the Reichstag. That'll get attention.
Hey.
He went on to say, they get called a little name and they blow up about it. Come on. Big deal. I think the Al-Qaeda 7 is something they just need to get over.
Oh, it's
not
worth
being
it.
So prissy.
Just have Ken Starr back on TV again is worth it, you know? Because
on Countdown. How hilarious is that?
On Countdown. Because Ken Starr is kind of like if Darth Vader and Elmer Fudd had a kid.
Yeah.
It would be like, be very, very quiet. I'm repudiating Cheney's.
You're part of a Weber Hawaiian Senator. Take him away.
He brought the thermos. How nice.
I love in this, maybe in the War on Terror, what's throwing off the racial profilers and the bigots is this Jihad Jane. She looks like a cocktail waitress I worked with earlier.
She looks like a cocktail waitress at the Flamingo in Vegas. Seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She looks like that woman I worked with that used to say, absolutely, positively. That's how you remember when someone orders absolute vodka.
Absolutely, positively.
Was this when you were at Fung Lum?
Mm-hmm. Oh. When I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lum at Universal out in L.A. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She, yes, blonde and green-eyed. She looks more like a former cheerleader than the Western conception of Islamic extremists. What is new in this case, said one expert, is the convert may be a middle-aged female. I didn't see that coming.
Yep. We don't need racial profiling. No. We need radical profiling. Radical profiling. Go for the people that are already mad, but, yeah.
All right. So this is going to make, Bill O'Reilly's head explode. Al Franken will give the keynote speech to Netroots Nation.
Mm-hmm.
They're a progressive bloggers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Those all-powerful progressive bloggers?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the all-powerful teachers unions? The all-powerful Acorn? They're tearing down our...
Oh, and mark this down on your calendar. Here's a think tank. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin will hold a fundraiser for Representative Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bucket of crazy.
Oh, and here's a full circle. I guess it'll be there. Norm Coleman. I wonder what he'd been up to.
Getting his teeth polished.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang.
I'm on Twitter. Say hi.
Okay, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno on phones and drums. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.